Is adjourned in turn of Arabin. Firstly, we'll acknowledgement of country. Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which the meeting is held and pays respect to elders both past and present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present. Please turn off mobile phones.
And Mr. Mayor, just a reminder to councillors and those members of the public present that these meetings are recorded, so please refrain from any defamatory or inappropriate statements.
Apologies.
Mr. Mayor, at this point in time we have had advice from Councillor Brady that he is running late for the meeting, so should he not arrive in time then he will be an apology.
Information of minutes held on the 16th of May 2019.
About interests.
Get them over.
My interests?
Oh, they come next.
Oh, okay. I'll move.
Brady, second to Council Doolan.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, there's item 13 in the minutes. You're saying there in part three of item 13 that there was a saving made if you hadn't spent it at all, that would be a saving, but it's not a saving. It's come out of the budget. It's now been spent on something else, so I don't think it's a saving.
Rural Fire Service, huh?
That's to do with councillors' annual fees. And the fact that you didn't put up the annual fee is of no consequence because you then spent the money that would have been spent on the fee on something else, so it's not a saving. Am I right or wrong?
I can't find it. Are you sure it's item 13?
Yep.
Because we've got rule of...
There were savings, but those savings were then spent on something else. The savings from the increase...
Savings is when you don't take it out of the budget, I would have thought.
Yep.
You don't agree with that?
I understand what you're saying.
See how carefully I read the minutes?
Yes, this is, very yes, carefully.
Okay, fine.
Any other discussion on the...
Yeah, just on that, I... 13.2, I suppose, was how... pleasing it was to see that it was a unanimous decision, and I know Pete, you're away, but you'd have been involved should you be here, that the council didn't take that rise that was recommended by the Remuneration Tribunal and instead directed the savings or the money towards the Yarning Circle and the...
Oh, yeah, I read all that. Yeah, I listened to the council meeting. You don't want to ever do that. You'll never get that time back in your whole life. Because if you press... because someone walked in while I was doing it, so I press stop. Then it goes right back to the beginning, and you start again. You can't fast forward. You can't do anything. They are the most miserable records I have ever come across. And like I say, you never get that time back in your life. I lost 2 hours.
I believe that that was probably on the iPad.
That's what we've got, iPad. Yep.
But on computers, you do have more functionality.
I think you supply an iPad, not the computer. Okay. But if you want to do both, I'm hand up.
For next year, we will be looking at computers.
Thank you to everyone there, and I think the intent, which I don't know whether we hid our light under a bushel, was to just show solidarity with the moment. I think it sends a good signal if we have any... following on from that, item 17, some of the funds were directed to the community financial assistance grant, and we were going to have Councillors Hill and Capel pick another couple of grants that might have been applicable. Did we do any good there again?
I have spoken to Acting Director Parker about possibly putting it towards the new banner poles as banners to increase the number of banners. So we've got extras.
Could I just inquire, who does that work? Who puts the banner poles up? Is that something that the community is doing, or?
No, it was part of the drought.
I realise that, but who's putting the banner poles up? If there's going to be a late one, 30th of June, this whole thing finishes, doesn't it?
The banner poles are up.
They're
more banners themselves. Yeah.
How many banner poles do you have?
Six.
Christ. Okay. I think that's poor expenditure, but anyway, that's fine. If you think that's the one, I honestly think that's poor expenditure.
And my other one was just going to inquire from Councillor Brady how the yarning circle was going, but since he's not here, we'll leave that one.
That's up to public consultation now, isn't it? And it hasn't been advertised? No. Okay.
Any more comment on the minutes? Motion. Those in favour? Carried. Closure of interest, pecuniary and non-pecuniary interest. Councillor Campbell.
Potential pecuniary interest, item 17, I'll be removing myself from the room.
And the reason for that?
On potential land host.
Wind farm, is it? Who had that? Bill, you got something?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was seconding the motion, I thought. No, come on.
Got a mover, Councillor Hill. Can second it, Councillor Lewis. Motion, those in favour. Now we got one didn't vote. Councillor Nuti. You record your vote.
No. If I don't vote, it means it's a negative, doesn't it? I thought that's the rule.
Mayoral minutes. Next thing on the agenda.
Move
Councillor Shenton. Second to Councillor Cable. Any discussion on them? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Very right, very good. Councillors' monthly travel claims. Mover, Councillor Shenton, Councillor Hill.
Mayor, the next item is item number two, the Mayor's log of activity, kilometres travelled and expenses.
Your mover, Councillor Lewis, Councillor Cable. Question on this item?
What item number is that?
Number two.
Didn't we just do three?
We've got to go back to that. Motion. Those in favour? Agreed.
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Item number three, Councillors' monthly travel claims. Mover, Councillor Hill, Councillor Cable. Question this item? Motion. Those in favour? Unanimous. County Mayors Association Sydney, held the 31st of May. The mover, Councillor Shenton. Councillor Doolan.
I've got a couple of questions there, Mr. Mayor. I noticed you met up with the Honourable Shelley Hancock. Is she an improvement on our last minister, do you think?
No, the last one.
Oh, you didn't meet her? Okay. Yeah, well, she did very little, I thought, for local government, but this lady has already let one slip through, and that was the increase in the RFS fees. And how convincing is she that she's doing something about it? Do we glean anything there that she's representing us and trying to reduce that? Did you believe her? You didn't. Great.
Also, I tell we shouldn't pay them. Pay it too. I'll put the motion.
No, I had another one. I'm just trying to find it. Jumping from iPads is. Yeah, the item 8, RFS contribution increase, it's in the minutes, and I don't really understand what the minutes are talking about, because it says that the Country Mayors Association supports the LGNSW campaign strongly, and the state government be requested to defer any RFS contribution increases for at least 12 months to allow for consultation, and any future increases be shown on a separate line item on the rates notice. How are we going to do that? Who's doing that?
Well, we would be expected to put that onto our rate notices to advise the public of what we're contributing to as far as emergency services levy is concerned.
Not be included in the rate pegging formula. Okay. You can do that, can you?
Well, if there was appropriate legislation passed, that would be the case. But at this point in time, the increase in the emergency services levy is well above what the rate pegging increase is, so hence council has got to find savings in other areas in order to be able to fund the additional increase in the emergency services levy.
It just seems a funny way of putting it, that's all. Yep. Okay, thanks.
Question on that item? Question, those in favour? Councillor Lewis, you I think it's a change since I thought.
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Unanimous. Item number 5, Traffic Advisory Committee meeting, 23rd of May. The mover, Councillor Shinton. Question on this item?
Can I speak on that, Mr. Mayor? The Pinaway Dip, the council progressed the concept of installing blisters. Could I suggest that we do have a blister on the approach side of it, especially on the southern side, with the same sign, the speed limit sign out on the point of the blister? Because when you're coming into town, or especially if you're a stranger, you're looking around and looking at the pub or the intersection, or you're not really looking into the trees to find the speed sign that's hidden there. If there was a sign out on the left-hand side of the roadway or trafficway, it would slow down people a hell of a lot, and you'd only need one blister and people would be aware of it. At the moment, the people that are hitting it are not even aware of the fact that it's there till they hit it. And it would cut the cost a lot. You wouldn't be able to put a sign out in the pavement without a blister around it, but a blister and a sign and problem solved.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Comments noted, Councillor Lewis, and in fact that's the intention to work through installing a blister with a sign on it so we can gateway the signs, the speed signs.
Councillor Doolan.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Is this the appropriate form? Maybe take directly to the Traffic Committee. Getting more roads designated as B double. Cooler Shire
are B-double friendly? It's being done, but it's just taking time, isn't it?
There's been, through you, Mr. Mayor, there's been no movement in that area for some time now. We have relied on assessing individual applications for B-double routes rather than a broad cast or a broad approach to approving a number of roads. So, we're treating each application as on its merits.
Raised that concern with me last week, so possibly he should contact the people he's produce to and ask them to make an application. Would that be good?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's correct. And we've done that perhaps nearly 2 or 3 years ago now on River Road. We've assessed it and for as a B double route or part of that as a B double route, and it wasn't considered safe to open the full length of River Road up to B doubles, but part of. So that's the sort of approach we need to take rather than broad scale approval of roads for B double access.
Pass that on.
Councillor Hill.
Is a B doubles allowed on that Mindoran to Dubbo route through the scrub? No, they don't, are they? They're not, are they? That hasn't been opened up to them.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's correct. The forest road, as we call it, Mindoran to Dubbo is not except for that section, that 12-kilometre section within Warrumbungle Shire, but beyond or south of that, it's not open to B doubles.
Hill, I think they might be coming through with a permit.
I beg your pardon?
I think they're coming through with a permit. They can't water. They're allowed to do that.
Okay. Fine, I'll pass those. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask a question? Would it expedite us allowing B-doubles into the old Coonabarabran Shire if the B-doubles were local traffic only? The ones with the destination on the roadway they're travelling on? Or a pick-up point on the road they're travelling on, rather than open and open slather for people to use the shortcuts to avoid officialdom and so on and so forth?
Through Mr. Mayor, and that's the nature of individual applications, so that if a truck operator wants to, or a business wants to open a particular route for their use, that's how we operate at the moment.
How long does it take to find the correct name of a lane? It seems to keep appearing each month for Tungi Lane.
Point taken, Mr. Mayor. I'll follow up on that.
I've got a question. The second access to Derrengulla Abattoirs, what's the go there?
Not spray.
Those three, Mr. Mayor, the recommendations in the traffic committee indicate the recommendation from the committee and what they believe would be the safest turning movements in and out of that abattoir. So, as you can see, recommendation number 8. Talks about.
It's G.
Oh, G.
They can only turn in when they're coming from Binroy direction, is that right? Wrong.
I think he was referring to 8 in the recommendations.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. It's in the text.
So, in summary, there, Mr. Mayor, its proposal is to approve a one-way for B doubles, a one-way through the entry in the existing access and then exit, but turning left only onto Warrumbungle Way and not turning right back towards Binaway.
All right, items in the traffic committee.
The section of road Warrumbungle's Way between the Abattoir and Binaway is not open to B doubles at the moment. Via the Newell Highway.
Didn't we open it up from Binaway to the Abattoir at one side?
I'll need to take that on notice, but it's my information that it's not open to B doubles.
I've got to recall that now. I don't know. Bring stock to the Abattoir, is that what it was about, wasn't it? Yeah, from that side.
I think we definitely had it, so we could.
But regardless of that section of road between the Abattoir and Binaway being open to B doubles, it's still considered that a left turn only out of the Abattoir is the safest option rather than a right turn for the new access, for the second access.
You bring us back the results to the next meeting, Kevin? Let you find out.
Yes, I can do that.
Any more items on this?
I just requested that general business item be kept an eye on, because that 50-kilometre zone is virtually at the entrance to the sewerage treatment works. I still believe when V-doubles are coming out of the service station and turning left that it's dangerous.
Dunedoo.
And Dunedoo on the Golden Highway. So if we could just keep an eye on it, it does need looking at again. Like an 80 zone before we get to the 50 Golden Highway route beyond Dalman's Mechanical.
Unfortunately, they don't put 80s in anymore. Yeah, so straight from 100 to 50. Yeah. That's the new rule. Yep.
Any more questions on the traffic committee? Motion, those in favour. Lewis, you're going to put your hand up if you can. We have no vote if you don't. You can see your face what you want to vote for, but things have changed now.
Mr. Mayor, I'll record that as unanimous.
Item 6, Local Emergency Management Committee meeting on the 20th of May. Mover. Table. Councillor Hill. Any items to be discussed? Have not put the motion. Those in favour? Carried.
I'll record that as unanimous.
Economic Development and Tourist Advisory Committee meeting held on the 27th of May. Over. Councillor Cable. Councillor Hill. Any discussion on these items?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Pearly War Hall. It's not on the website for hire.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. From memory, from what I understand, it does belong to council. It doesn't have any fees in our operational plan for hire, so that's probably why it's not listed on there. It probably needs some included and has been overlooked.
Any more items on the Economic Tourism Advisory Committee? Councillor Doyle.
Just one through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Capel, the Capturing the Cosmos Photography Competition.
Yes.
When does that close?
Oh, not for a couple of months yet. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the sky. Cosmos is anything in the universe, so it can be rock formations, it could be fabulous pictures out of air balloons, it could be, as long as they can prove they were in the Shire when they took the photo through a receipt, they can enter.
Get a lady to enter. She apparently there's an app that tells you where a good place to observe the stars is, and apparently and silos, and a lady was there at 2 o'clock the other morning, and I'll show you a very good photo that she took, so I'll urge her to enter.
Thank you.
It'll take a bit of beating.
Any more questions on this item? The motion, those in favour? Carried.
Mr. Mayor, I'll record those unanimous.
Yep. Your vote. You've got to put the hand up. Yep. Unanimous. You've got to change the rule, didn't they? Okay, then. Item number 8, Coonabarabran an Emergency Water Supply Project Update, May the 2019. Got a mover? Councillor Derwin, Councillor Iannuzzi. Comments on these items? The motion, those in favour? Carried.
I'll record those unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, unanimous. What's the next one? 9. Law and Quality of Water Report Implementation. The mover? Councillor Hill. On to this item.
My only comment, Mr. Mayor, is the length of the report and what did it cost. We know someone failed and the water quality went down, but what did all this cost and who's paying for it?
As far as paying for it is concerned, council is paying for most of these things. There are things that do get caught up and we do get funded for, e.g. the emergency water supply where we bring things in. But a total cost, I'll have to come back to you on that one. Sorry, councillor.
The size of the report and the detail in it, it evidently cost quite a lot of money. And look, the mistakes were made and the corrections were made in the short term, and this has carried on for months and cost council heaps of money. I can't see where we're getting our bang for our buck out of that. And it's going to be the ratepayers that are already complaining about their dear water rates. It'll cop the bill for it.
This is about rectifying the problem so it doesn't happen again.
I still think that the detail that you've gone into in this report is not required. I think it's overkill and a waste of money.
But a lot of it we've read before.
On this item?
I disagree a little bit. Okay. I think I like to see, which is a change, you know, there's a lot to read. We have a lot to read each month. The pricey of it all is the change since the last report, and that's quite good to see that action is actually being done because, as you recall from our little chat with the OLG people, it was, ultimately you people are the councillors. This happened on your watch. What are you doing about it? So to see that there's actually progress being made, and I think it's good.
So do I.
And they're quarterly reports as opposed to monthly.
Any questions on this item? Opposition, those in favour? Carried.
I'll record those unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Item number 10, council committees.
Yep.
Councillor Shinton. Thank you.
This came about because the Rural Fire Service wanted to know should I still be attending their meetings because I'm not the mayor. And so we went back in, through the records, and when I joined that committee in, I think it was 1995, it was councillor. And then when I became the mayor, they changed it to mayor. But when the original intention was for the general manager and mayor, well, it's that's falling away as time goes on. So unless you really want that responsibility, I'm quite happy to keep it going. But looking through these committees, one of them there, Central Ranges Natural Gas and Telecommunications Association, that's wound up, so that doesn't exist anymore. Regional Organisation of Councils, I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if you do. But so that one's gone as well. Air Park Steering Committee's gone.
But the Castle Range Zone Liaison Committee, what's that one?
The Zone Liaison Committee follows the Bushfire Management Committee, and that's...
That's the top one, does it?
Yeah, they're both... they meet on the same day, one after the other. Just different people attend the meeting.
But yeah.
Hey?
You've got the job. What about the Association of Mine-Related Councils?
I'm the chairman of that particular association at this stage. If you wish to be, the general manager doesn't attend, our general manager doesn't attend, so if you wish to be part of that, I'm quite happy.
I might attend with you one day.
Oh yeah, no, that'd be fine. That particular committee, the reason that you have a VPA for the wind farm is directly from that committee. We've put together a VPA template that is now being used for all energy related things. We've actually changed the name from mining to mining and energy, and we're also negotiating with the government now because there's no VPA for solar installations, and we feel there should be, and now the government are weakening a bit. And the last meeting we had our local member Roy Butler there, and he's now taking this up as an issue to have voluntary planning agreements now with all these things that dictated as significant ones, you know, the ones that are state significant developments that we have nothing to do with, but we feel that in the end, since the state government makes decisions about our future, that we should be in the negotiating table to actually get the VPA credits when the agreements are made.
General Manager Review Committee, we've got a few on that. Yes.
It's not?
Not anymore.
That one, Peter? You on it?
I thought we last... Didn't we go to the last one? Didn't everyone go?
No. Everyone was invited, but not everyone went.
Oh, yeah, but everyone was invited. Yeah, okay.
Finance and Projects Committee...
Yeah, that other one, the very last one there, the Warrumbungle Shire Mayor's Bushfire Appeal, that should be wound up, shouldn't it? Yeah. But there's money left in the kitty. Yeah.
Three Rivers Regional Retirement Committee. We got a few on that one. You on it? Table? You on that one?
Information, are we? We'll make the changes. Is that
if you want to move a motion to make those changes?
Like I will move that we make the changes as we've just discussed, and pull out the committees that are no longer relevant, take them out of the list.
No. Councillor Brady, I'll put the motion. Those in favour.
Unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Council resolutions report. Councillor Cable, Councillor Clancy.
Resolution 450-17-18, which is St John's School, Barradine. Why is it taking so long?
Just the workload in relation to other water activities at this point in time.
Okay. My next one is 374-18-19, just letting you know in regards to youth. There are grants opening... www.youth.newsouthwales.gov.au youth opportunities/youth opportunities if you're looking for funding.
The staff were aware of that and have been investigating it.
Motion, those in favour. Harry.
Unanimous.
Three votes report for June 2019. Over. Sutherland, Councillor Chinton. Item. Motion, those in favour. Carried.
Unanimous, yeah. Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Item 13, Rural Fire Service State Emergency Services Fire and Rescue New South Wales Contribution Assessments. Councillor Shitton. This item, Councillor Cable.
I just think we should be making sure that as council we push back on this. It's another cost shift. They bring it out after we've set our budget, so it makes it hard for us to adjust. So then we have to juggle things that can't be done if we have to pay it. So it's poor planning on their part. I just think we should be pushing back. It's a big, big increase.
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, I agree, Councillor Capel, and I just noticed in the recommendations there wasn't one to pay it. So is that, you know, we're going to lobby, but are we going to hold our money? Because I think it's... It's a bit rude to spring such a large thing on, again, after our budgets have been framed and with little notice. I think it's...
When they know we've done our budgets too.
Yeah, so the thinking there, there's no recommendation to pay it, or is that just you wouldn't put that in, General Manager?
Well, actually, that comes through the budgetary process, and if Council allocates us the funding, we staff will make arrangements to pay, when of course, it's sent to us and in good time.
Mr Mayor, you were saying at the conference, the Mayor's conference, it's talk of people not paying it. Is that, was that just saber-rattling, or what was the
theory? That's what we got told, not to pay it.
Well, it's hard to get your money back if you do.
The other query I just had was just the breakup of the share between the two councils, and I suppose it's just we're basically, while we're doing 66% of it, is we're two councils and they're one. Is that just a...
I understood that was a philosophy from before.
Whoever, whatever favours we can call in, I think we should too. We've got more money than we do.
Would you like to move that we don't pay it, Councillor Devlin?
It's hold.
Hold? I think we could do that. I think we'll... we could say we're withholding it until we've... Well, we're withholding it.
Mr Mayor, we have an existing motion before us, which is moved by Councillor Shinton and seconded by Councillor Hill. Would it be okay with councillors if that was, and of course with Councillor Shinton and Hill's permission, that we incorporate that into their motion?
It's due in four payments, isn't it? The bill, you don't pay it in one lump sum, as I recall. Yeah, four payments. First one's due when?
Very soon after the end of this year.
And we have the bill, do we, already?
They've provided the assessment notice, and then they followed up with an invoice. It was both SES, three things, SES, Fire and Rescue, and this. And we pay also on the payments come through from Gilgander as well. We bill them as soon as we pay the instalment.
Yeah, okay. Now, the other thing was that Peter Primrose moved his thing in the upper house, and that carries no weight as far as we know at this stage, does it?
At this stage, no, apart from the fact that it's putting the government on notice through the upper house that it has a problem up there. But my understanding is it needs to be passed through the lower house for it to be successful.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree that we hold back payment until we hear further. Yep.
Through you, Mr Mayor, if I could, your clarification there, Peter. 30th of September, the first instalment's due. 30th of September.
So there would be a part two of the motion would be, and sub six, or Roman numeral six, the council withhold the additional payment or the extra sum that would be due for the emergency services levy.
Yeah, that'd be a smarter thing to do, wouldn't it? Yeah, just the increase, yeah.
Better idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Reading further down our assessment details, it says, if your payment is not received by the due date, the instalment will be in arrears and collection activity will commence.
That's when you hit the media.
We'll hit the paper.
Oh, dear.
The mover and the second.
That's what the mover and the second, and they'll send it around to your place.
Are they agree with them changes? I'll put the motion. That's in favour. Councillor Newton, Councillor Granty.
I'll record Councillor Nutsi against.
Move on. So what, we've passed a motion here, if we just again hide our light under the bushel here, will anyone take any notice? What do we do to, rather than give ourselves a warm feeling, how do we give that wider air?
Send a letter.
Well, there are other things there in the motion that we're going to notify local government New South Wales. We'll certainly notify them that council is at this stage intending to withhold payment of the additional sum. And if council wishes, we can certainly do some media on it as well.
Page 48, there's sort of a list of all the things that should go into the letter and how we're going to address those, you know, like... And we don't need to talk about that, do we? You blokes, yeah, you'd be able to pull those out, yeah.
I'll put the motion out in favour.
Well done. Yep.
Item 14, the draft operational plan. Mover. Councillor Hill. Any discussion on this item?
Mr Mayor, just before this item is fully dealt with, if council is of a view to try and recover back some of those additional expense items, then I have some proposed savings here for consideration. Staff and myself have gone through the budget and we've identified some savings that could occur. These are principally in relation to staff salary costs, though there are other costs involved, and would be recommending that at this point in time savings of $457,380 be included in the when council does adopt the draft plan, and they be from areas such as tourism, staff costs and other operational costs of $93,426, corporate services, staffing costs of $197,362, road operations $5,000, road operations for unsealed rural roads $99,592, technical services management costs $10,000, urban services, sport and recreation ground facilities, $20,566. Urban services, public swimming pools, $4,000. Urban services, street cleaning, $12,000. And urban services, urban streets, $29,000. And then if council is of a mind, then there is part five of the recommendation that the council or request General Manager to identify further savings and report these to the Council at the first quarterly review due in October or November of this year.
Two, in what part of the tourism are you planning to cut that 93? And secondly, in the local roads, because our local roads haven't had a lot of work because of lack of water as it is.
In relation to tourism, Council had included in the organisation structure an item for Tourism Officer South, which has never been filled. And in relation to the roads, I'll need Mr Ty to provide you with some explanation of some of those items around unsealed rural road maintenance, which is principally grading. Mr Ty?
Through you, Mr Mayor. The $90,000 for unsealed roads. So in the organisation structure at the moment, there are two vacant positions of labourer. They're not attached to plant items. So they were targeted for this cost-saving measure. And that then is reflected in a reduction in budget allocation for unsealed rural roads of, as I said, 90,000, and that would equate to around 37 kilometres of unsealed road not being graded.
Can we afford to do that since we haven't been able to get over them anyway with lack of water? Because they are the lifeblood of what makes money. We're an agricultural shire. Stuff has to move.
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. The funding for unsealed roads remaining is commensurate with the current year's funding. This current year we did receive funding for flood damage, and that's always an assistance for our budget for road maintenance.
Which was that for?
Oh, sorry, from previous years. So it was left over from 2016 funding.
We still haven't had any word on Moorfield?
No.
So, Councillor Doolan, would you be agreeable to have those items included in your motion?
I would. I just wouldn't mind. I was wondering, we've got a summary of them there. Can we need to get it transacted tonight, this item? Got a summary of what they are. I just would, you know, just a little bit more time to consider it, that was all.
Alternatively, Council could say, rather than adopt those items tonight, that we adopt the budget as is and request the General Manager to identify savings and report these to the first quarterly review.
We could have a bit of a heads up in between time, yeah. And that would be the same effect?
Pretty much. As I mentioned, many of these positions that I've just mentioned have been positions that we haven't filled, or there are other positions in the organisation that haven't been filled, so we won't move to fill them.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd be voting against accepting it because I can't vote for a reduction in rural roads budget when we're planting trees in streets that people don't need. I'm dead set against. And also when we got lengthy reports written with consultants consulting, and I'd become a councillor for roads, rates and rubbish, and on principle I won't vote for it.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. All those numbers you read out add up to the 457,000. Are we not just trying to peel back the 106 and those other small increases? You want to peel back a lot, do you?
Well, the emergency services levy wasn't accounted for in total.
I realise that. That's the 106.
No, in total. That's the 452,000. And it hasn't been done so for several years. I'd need Mr. Parker to explain what has happened there. But there was a change in the way the emergency services levy was calculated several years ago, and it seems as though that hadn't been flowing through in our budgetary process.
We have a primer on how that works, if it could come through you, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Parker. Could we have some explanation, not tonight, you don't have to do it tonight, but something that comes through to explain.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can give it to you, but just as easily.
Yeah. Well, whatever's more convenient for yourself, you know, if it's.
Basically, the year before last, when the bushfire services, we did our allocation request. That was then ratified one way or the other at the state government budget, our normal contribution would be based on what we are allocated as a zone for the two shires. 2 years ago, they moved away from that direct link and calculated a 20-year history of what the average would be for us to get allocations. And so what they tried to do was then make the contribution that we were going to be charged each year to be more stable instead of going up and down depending on what our allocation was. So it tended to be with the, in theory, 2.7 or whatever the rate pegging type of thing was, depending on the level of expenditure that the state government made in emergency services, in particular Rural Fire Service. So if they decided to double the expenditure in the budget, then automatically the contribution flow on would be that we would have to double our contribution. In this case, it was around about $330 million in the state budget, and then they added this workers' compensation premium thing, and it immediately jumped, and therefore 25% rise in the contribution. So that's the fundamental part. As to the explanation as to where it is here, in your long-term financial plan, the 10-year plan, it's showing that your net contribution to this area for RFS, the Rural Fire Service, is around about $50,000. Whereas in effect, in this current year, it's $389,000 for Warrumbungle share. When the budget was constructed for 18-19, it actually went in as $50,000 or close to it. And then when the rebates were considered coming forward, it was repaired. And it came through and the vote was increased. So it was compensated at that time. Now, in constructing 1920 budget, next year's budget, they obviously picked up the old figure again and didn't check that, say they, we, didn't come through at the required level. And, of course, once I started to look at some of these figures, unfortunately, that's the one that bobbed up as, oh, this is no good. Is that enough?
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Adam.
And then we've got the our repair here and the legals for Dunedoo, which would be impacting adversely too.
Correct.
I'm happy with the second course of action there where we can...
So we don't have a reduction of 457, and that there'd be a part five that general manager be requested to identify further savings and report these to council at the first quarterly review due in October/November of 2019.
Agreeable to that, Councillor Doyle?
I am, yes.
And Councillor Hill, just a second.
Yes,
I'll put the motion.
Before we go on.
You go. Just comment. So with the submissions and, you know, majority of them coming through about the water and sewerage increases, how do we address those submissions as such? Or we can't just pretend they're not there sort of thing and then, you know.
No, we're not pretending that they're not there, but council is acknowledging that their concerns and comments, and write to them and advise them of the outcome of the consideration. And at this point in time, if council goes with the motion, then council will be adopting the fees and charges that have been advertised.
Like, it's twofold, I believe. Like, you know, only having a few submissions when I'm pretty out there on social media, and I see the slurs and the, you know, the comments of the community not being happy about being slugged with the increase, and but then they haven't backed it up with submissions. So, you know, that's sort of a bit annoying as well, but I just really think that, I think anything increased at 18% as well. Like, you know, here we are talking about the state government.
28%.
Yeah, going to implement that on us, and here we are saying, hey, we're not going to pay it, and I know that is ratepayers' money as well, but I think it's a big slug.
Councillors might recall that last year we did consider a much higher increase and said at the time that due to the circumstances at the time, being economic and also drought related, that we apportioned this over a 2-year period. This, of course, is the second year of that. And the issue is that both our water and sewage fund were forecast to go into the red as far as our bank balance was concerned if we continued down the line without having a significant increase.
And a comment on what you just said as well, Roger, is, you know, last year we thought about that. I think we're here at this year and things haven't got better. I think they got worse. Plus then, you know, everyone's concerns with the bypass and businesses and things like that. I just think it's, you know, I spoke to a lot of people that are, you know, really anxious and got anxiety around it. And as much as we can sit here and say, oh, it's a cup of coffee a day or whatever, that those people aren't, haven't got that spare money to spend on.
Well, I agree with your sentiment there, Councillor Brady. I think, as in regarding the submissions, I still think we have that bottom line. But I think if people have taken the trouble to write to put in a submission, I think we thank them for that. And also, there can never be enough information. I just think a couple of the submissions that I've read, all the submissions, but a few of them, they're directing their concerns that we've overspent on the bores, and that's why we need the money, and that's not the reason, you know. And we had another lady, she wrote a very detailed letter saying she'd looked at the past 5 years' operational plans and couldn't see a need for this increase, but what we're talking about is the coming years. She's looking in the wrong direction, and I think if we're going to reply to them, if we could rework that press release with the figures attached to that, if that was attached as well, that might go some way to relieving some of their worries.
Mr. Mayor, I actually had a chat to the GM before and asked that he consider actually answering their particular submission, not a generic response, but any issue they actually raised in their submission be addressed. So they're getting information back about their specific concern.
That'd be right if you've got the time, because
certainly we can endeavour to do that.
It is a concern to people, but I think Peter, when you were the mayor, you did say we don't talk in cups of coffee here. Like that was one thing we did hit on the head from the start. But it's people have their, you know, we all have different worries, and I think if any information that we can give to them to sort of spell out the picture might just alleviate their concerns, and that's not a bad idea, Councillor Capel. If the GM's got the time, that would be good. The only other one I had along those lines, while I've just got the floor, is somebody had a letter in the Mr. Stoltenberg, I believe, in the Kuna Times there a few weeks ago, and he was complaining about the level of the management fee we charge in the water fund. Is that something you could talk to?
Not off the top of my head. Certainly all councils do charge a management fee across from their general fund to water and sewage fund. And if council was to decrease the management charge, then of course your general fund deficit does go up, and will mean that council will have to find further savings in its general fund.
Yeah, well, look, I was not saying it was right or wrong. I just would like to get an education, that was all. So
it was taken from one to pay the other.
You, Mr. Mayor, one thing I noticed was some comments about water quality. Maybe we need a better system for people to be able to lodge concerns about water quality. Promote it more, that if you've got discoloured water coming through, let us know, because it's obviously an issue with the pipes.
Yep.
Maybe people aren't aware.
One of those issues I did bring to the staff attention, I did a little bit of research myself and saw that a council, or actually I think it was more of a water corporation in another state, does some work around that, and they were talking about brown water in households, and I refer that to staff to have a look at to see if that might be something that we could put onto our website as well. I had a particular complainant, I suppose, in mind when I was looking for that, because in that particular case, the complainant, the person has complained a number of times. They're the only person in that area that's complained. We have done works in those areas. The problem is still evident, but it seems, from where I'm sitting, it's an internal matter for their property as opposed to a council matter, and they probably need to have a look at those sorts of things themselves. So understanding that, well, okay, if you are having a brown water problem, then check to make sure it's on your property first before we turn up, because it might be that you may have to spend the money as opposed to council. And in those sort of circumstances, it talks about taking a sample at the front tap and then going to your back tap and seeing what comes out that end.
That's my point. Get some information out there so people know if they've suddenly got a pressure problem to contact us. Suddenly their water's discoloured or chunky bits coming through. What's to do? I used to write in the cooler diary, check whether you've got a leak, things like that, just so people know what to do, because I was a bit concerned how many were coming through with coloured water in the submissions. There was three or four that talked about, and it could be from the meter in on there, but if they don't know how to look for it.
Yep. As I said, that was one thing that I referred on to staff to have a close look at.
It's probably running through galvanised pipe, but 50-year-old. Questions on that? Yeah. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? And against. Item number 16.
15.
Investment in term deposit. Mover. Councillor Cable. Bill. Nichols. No comment on these articles. I put the motion.
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Item 16, Warrumbungle Shire Community Based Heritage Study. Can I move up? Now for Cable. Dolan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to acknowledge all the community members who were active in raising their concerns with it on public display and the work they've done in the background to get information through to the consultant. They're not 100% happy, but it's possibly the best we're going to get. And next time round, we need to be consulting more with the communities who are passionate about their history, the community groups.
Mr. Mayor, Councillor Capel, is that an item, point four of the motion?
Yes.
Acknowledged comments by the community? Yep.
Yep.
Bill, and you're agreeable to that?
Yes, fine.
Article. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Councillor Nutsi, you're in favour?
Yeah. Right.
Unanimous. Item 17, Liverpool Wind Farm Voluntary Agreement.
There's a recommendation.
Councillor, it's moved.
There's a recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Brady. Councillor Capel has declared an interest. Any discussion on this item?
Second, sorry.
Motion, those in favour? Yeah. You want to talk to you, Peter?
Huh? No. You said all those in favour, didn't you?
Yeah. Everybody in favour?
No.
Okay. You, Fred? Councillor Lindsay is again. Item 18, recycling systems at waste management sites. Over.
I have a Councillor Shelton.
Second, a Councillor Kitty. Councillor Lewis.
Mr. Mayor, I ask the question, is the Mendoran tip a battle axe block? And if it is, how wide's the roadway leading into it?
through you, Mr. Mayor, from memory looking at a map, I believe it's a rectangle, but it does have a really skinny driveway going up to it, and it's quite long. Probably quite rough too. It's about 200 metres long, I would think, if not longer.
I just asked the question why we've got to have the hole in the wall, so to speak, right out the front. Why can't we have a parallel with the roadway going in, back down further off the road?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the rest of the sites have always are on the boundary. That's how we've done it. So it's easy for people to access. Otherwise,
the geography doesn't lend itself to that.
The options are there to move the boundary fence.
I just asked why Mendoran's going to be disadvantaged and refused the facility when every other tip has got it, and it could be done simply by putting a parallel with the entry road and moving the front gate that you lock further in towards the main tip. Drive into the tip down a laneway.
Yes, I know, beside a fence.
Yeah. So why can't we put the hole in the wall down along that road, parallel with the roadway, and move the front gate closer to the main tip? And that's your problem solved. You don't have to redesign the entryway or do any additional signage or anything. And the facility is only for local people. It's not for drive-by tourists.
But you've got to have an area to...
Yeah, you'd have to have an area to spin around. That's why I asked how wide the roadway is.
Oh, the front's not very wide.
How much room is there? Plenty of room. And you can sit all of the bench.
Not that much room there. You're coming off Turrawina Road.
But like, I agree, there's no room out the front. But you could put it down along the driveway.
23 metres it is. That's what Kevin's just said. Through you, Mr. Mayor, you have to move the grid. It's got a grid as well, so you'd have to somehow push it all back so people had room to get in and get out again. And that was the struggle we had and the extra expense that would be needed. So at this point in time, we don't have the budget for that. That's the reason it's been recommended that we don't proceed.
Well, I think it's grossly unfair that every other tip's got it and Mendoran's not getting it.
What's the grid you drive out? Ain't it locked at night?
The gate's further down, Mr. Mayor.
Further down, I think.
Yeah.
Can we pull the grid out and drive away? Take the grid out altogether?
Well, I'm prepared to meet on site with anyone and have a look at it if we can make it progress. We'll come up with an alternate idea, so that the Mendoran people have got the same facility as Binaway, Dunedoo, Cooler and Barradine. Queen of Arbor and Joy.
I use the one in Barradine about 5 days a week. Load, but it goes in there. Motion, those in favour.
Your pardon?
He's putting the motion
Councillor. Councillor Shinton, would you like to change it so we can put...
With the recommendation.
So we can have a look at it?
Oh, well, I won't be there, but...
we could.
Unless you can do it. What's your budget? What do you have?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the rest of them have cost around the $4,000 to $5,000 just to get the wall made and installed, and that's about where we are. So this one needs a fair bit extra expense.
With the recommendation from what's been written here, thank you.
Those in favour.
I'll record Councillors Lewis and Todd against.
Item 19, development application. Councillor Brady. Councillor. On this item.
Can I just ask a question? I think Councillor Lewis and I have both seen a road that's been developed on the near Burnie Crossing there that's coming. That's the one you were referring to the other night, wasn't it?
River Road?
The road that between Mendoran and the Burnie.
Oh, Old Mendoran?
Yeah.
Or Burnie Crossing Road?
No, it's not the Burnie Crossing Road. The road that goes through to Mendoran.
Oh, that's private access for someone, Monk.
Just private access?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to see it?
Yeah, it's like a highway. Yeah,
sure. It's massive. Okay, I thought that must have been your Chook development. And
I asked that too.
No, that's Merrygoan, isn't it, the Chook development?
No. Yeah, that's Merrygoan.
Tell them to keep going down Beanie Road.
Developments were.
Rob Monk,
that's the bloke.
Okay.
Wattle Grove.
Thank you. That's all I want to know.
All right, any more questions?
Probably a bit of foster kid and toxapone for it, Pete.
I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor. In item 20, Mr. Mayor, we have two items. The first item is item number 20.1, which is Organisational Development Monthly Report. For June 2019, there's a recommendation there that it go into closed council under 10A2A of the Local Government Act.
Entry. Put the motion. Those in favour? Carried. Unanimous.
Then there's 20.2, which is there's three items, 20.2 is financial tendering for supply of bulk fuel. Recommendation for that to go in closed council under 10A2D1 of the Local Government Act.
Councillor Brady. Motion, those in favour?
I'll record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor. Then there's 20.3, which is Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report, a recommendation that go and close council in the 10A2G of the Local Government Act.
Motion, those in favour? Carried.
Record that as unanimous, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, the opportunity now exists for those members of the public to come forward and express their concern as to why council should not go into closed council and consider these matters. Mr. Mayor, there are no submissions in relation to that, so there's a further recommendation there for council now to go into closed council, etc.
Councillor
Cable. See you
later. I'll put the motion, those in favour.
What are we doing?
Those council.
Mr. Mayor, due to the fact that the iPad doesn't work and the LRX have got no paperwork on the closed council, is there a copy of the If I got a hard copy.
You got your iPad there, Councillor?
20.3.
Yeah. No, I mean when we go the tenders and so on and so forth.
Mr. Mayor, just returning from closed council, Mr. Mayor. The resolutions of council in closed council were in relation to item 20.1, which is the Organisational Development Monthly Report. On the motion of councillors Capel and Hill, the Organisational Development Monthly Report for June 2019 be noted for information. That resolution was unanimous. In relation to item 20.2, which is financial tendering for supply of bulk fuel, on the motion of councillors Clancy and Capel, were one, that Liberty Oil Australia Proprietary Limited be awarded this contract as the single source supplier to Warrumbungle Shire Council for the period 1 July 2019 to 30th of June 2022, and two, that provision be allowed for a 12-month extension based on satisfactory supplier performance, which may take the contract through to 30th of June 2023. And in relation to item 20.3, which is the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report, on a motion from Councillors Capel and Doolan, were that Council, one, endorsed the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, two, seeks advice of the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Section 355 Committee on the future of the project, three, explore the opportunity to include the community centre, outdoor living classroom and walk/cycleway in the future options for the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project, and four, explore options for affordable housing providers to participate in the project. That was all councillors in favour except for Councillor Nuzzi, who has recorded his vote against that particular item.
No further I want to raise a motion of urgency about the bypass letter that I've got to send to the Alistair Larnan. I've got a mover. Councillor Doolan. Councillor Cable.
And Mr. Mayor, that will be to declare this matter of business with great urgency.
Declare it a business with great urgency. Have you got any discussion on this item?
But this is the letter that you're sending off from council.
Yes.
Can I just say, have it run past me again? What you're attempting here?
Letter that I've got to send to Alistair Lunn
from yes.
The council about the bypasses. The bypasses, yes. We got three items in the letter. Put my letter on the board, Aaron. My letter. Can we put it up there? everybody read that and see whether it's okay to send him or not. Further?
Questions that you were asking when they visited, did you ask these questions, or are these just manifestations of people now? What's the go? You know, like traffic lights and things like that? That suggested by them, or you brought it up at the meeting, did you?
No, these
at the which meeting?
Oh, the meeting.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know what you're up to, but the... I just wondered where some of the...
I just go back to the start of that letter. The attendance of that meeting I thought was poor. When you consider there's 2,000 people living here and we've got 150 at the meeting for a bypass of Coonabarabran. I felt it was there were two opportunities for information, and I believe there should be a third meeting on information. I certainly won't be agreeing with anything until I see something around management of this bypass, particularly the intersections and et cetera, et cetera. There's a heap of information out there we haven't got. And can I bite again? Nobody seems to be talking. The public were in the speakers. The business houses were 70%, I would suggest, of the speakers. And yet, so we're aware very much of their sentiments on this whole thing. But all of a sudden we're going to roll over for the RMS. This boy isn't. We got to go after them, the RMS. We want something done to sustain this town, not go haphazardly into a bypass, hoping it'll sustain the place. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So, do you think there should be an invitation to do more public community engagement for RMS to come back and do more? We feel that it's been lacking because the online survey takes out probably 2/3 of the community straight off the bat.
Yeah.
And then only a week and a half notice to the community meetings.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, when we were notified that Monday and the community was started to be notified on that Monday, and then it was the following Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be away for, you know, two of them.
The other issue was the first meeting was held outside the emergency services shed. Nobody could seek shelter. It was bitterly cold. And yet they believe that little cluster that got around stood against the walls down there are deciding what's going to happen. And we've got a long way to go. And
they
better be informed. We are coming. to get a deal for this town.
So do you want that incorporated in the letter? Further public consultation for the community is required.
Probably is the most major thing that's ever could happen to this town, and I do think the consultation is very, very poor. That's my concern.
Send this letter or should not be sent a letter?
Well, if we don't send a letter, they're not going to know that the communication with the public was crap. They need to be told.
Yeah, and down at the RA shed, it wasn't even a meeting. It was just a walk up and have a little chat sort of thing. They do need to hold a meeting, and yes, community meetings can get rowdy and whatever else and that, but all reports I heard, that meeting was quite good the other day.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
People of the town of Coonabarra are now trying to band together because to try to get the best outcome. So...
Mr. Mayor, they said at the meeting we had here with the RMS that they'd already received 200-odd submissions and they're expecting the same amount again before the close date, as well as the submissions that would have come out of our public meeting the other night. So I think everyone's more or less put it out there what they do or do not want. And our submission will only be considered on the same merit as the rest, I should imagine. So, put it in there.
What's your suggestion?
My suggestion is the one John Walk put in the newspaper today, that they go for option three and get the feds to pay for a plaza in the middle of town and make it a place people want to come to, not drive to.
First glance, but you've got trucks from Barrowdean going to Newcastle, then where do they... go.
They're going to come down the main street.
Won't be if it's a plaza. They're not interested in building plazas, they're interested in moving freight. They're not going to.
If they could do a plaza in the main street of Maitland, I think they could do one in Coonabarra pretty easy.
So, who funded that?
Pardon?
Who funded the plaza?
Who funded the plaza? I don't know. Mr. Walk's suggestion in the paper today was we asked the feds to cough up a couple of $1 million to beautify our main street, make it into a plaza.
Put the money aside to look after.
If we either don't send them a letter, we change this letter, or what do we do with it? That's what I want to know.
I think at the end of the day, we're trying to fight a line and using a toothpick as a sword if we think we're going to beat the Commonwealth Government.
Any opportunities we could squeeze out of the RMS in all of this? Would there be an opportunity for more employment if they don't use their mob that they'll probably get from Narrabri and drive it across here to work? Accommodate those people in the town. We're in a drought. We need business. Will they take it on board that all quarry material should be bought from their quarry?
I take that into account, but look at the main street as it is at the moment. There's half a dozen buildings closed with the highway running through the main street in the last 12 to 18 months.
I'm not speaking.
It's not the bypass that's making them close. There's a Baronia Cafe, it's a clothes shop, there's a newsagent impending closure. There's just a list of them. The subway, that list goes on and on. That's not the bypass that's causing that.
When they spoke to council, what do they want? They wanted minimum speed was 80 kilometres an hour, wasn't it?
That was on two. On,
Like you can't get 80 kilometres an hour in the main street of Coonabarabran if you tried. But so that, what was it? We remove all the trees. Was that it? Yeah, because people have been telling me what they think was going on, but I've never read what the what they offered here or what they actually said. And I think Councillor Nuzzi asked for I think minutes or something. We got nothing there either. So what are they offering? If it's the main street that it was going to be used as the highway option, what are we getting? They're taking away the trees. I said that someone told me that they were wanted to remove the clock tower. Is this right? And that we had to remove all of our services out of the bottom, over the bridge there from the highway because they're all under the highway. Is that a fact? Is that what was asked for or told to us? Or nobody seems to be able to tell me what happened that day.
They didn't tell us very much that day.
Did we ask?
I don't know.
You know, like I'm amazed now that we're asking how we're going to cross, with these outer bypasses, how is the Pearly Wall Road going to cross and all those sort of things. Was that asked on the day?
Yeah, things were asked and they wouldn't give us answers, and furthermore they didn't give us minutes, as you've just pointed out. They were very cagey. It was, we'll get back to you. They gave us, I think, and others can step in if I'm getting this wrong, we walked away from that meeting with the impression that option three is their preferred option. However, there's a substantial price difference between option one and option three, so depending on how the money's flowing, option one may still be alive for that reason. But clearly option three was their preferred option. I don't think anyone had any doubts about that after they spoke. But they were very limited in what they told us. They were very evasive. They had six people here. Only one was really doing the talking. The rest, we wondered what they were even doing here. The consultation process was a sham. That's why some of us wanted that community meeting, and it was quite successful, I think. There's still a lot of questions to be asked. The community clearly had a great appetite to ask questions at that community meeting that we were in no position to answer, and nor was it our place to answer them, and I wouldn't allow such questions. We need to talk more about it, and they need to come here and give us much more detail for us to be even in a weak position to make any sorts of decisions. At the moment, we're totally in the dark.
Well, the thrust of the letter then is that we're disappointed with what you've given us. Those sort of lines. We're disappointed with what you've given us, and until we know more detail about what you've got in mind. You better come back, because it's 5 years. You've got, and people are interested now. You've stirred up the community, and we want you to come here now and answer the questions. And let's do it again, because it looks like we got nothing. And now the people are stirred up like you wouldn't believe. People are now dropping around just to tell me what they feel. And God Almighty, they've got some. They're asking me questions, and I said I have no idea. I heard what Councillor Nucci said at the public meeting. That's all I can offer. I said there are no minutes from the first meeting. I don't know what was asked. But to me, they've given us no choice. It is an outer bypass that obviously is preferred. But we're not going to accept anything while we've got nothing from them. This is absurd, I think.
I believe that we shouldn't have that meeting if we got more submissions back from them.
Yeah, you probably did right. Yeah, because the community is stirred up. That's all there is to it.
That's all it did.
Yeah.
I wasn't in favour of the first meeting.
Further that, through you, Mr Mayor. Peter, they had a PowerPoint presentation which I requested that we get a copy of.
That didn't come either.
Well, he said he'd look into it when he was eyeballing us, and then we got an email saying that won't be possible.
Mind you, I don't think we should be worrying about the funds they might have to expend to get a route through the place. Hey, there's a government here. They've just walked away from doing a rail line in Sydney and lost $2 million or $2 billion. And here we are, scratching around trying to help them out. No.
Well, I don't think it's a bad letter. I just would think maybe a little addition is whatever they choose to do, they're going to impact the town quite dramatically. Option one, two or three.
And they need to be consulting with the community and showing exactly what...
Rather than later, probably.
Yeah, and what their options entail.
You've talked about funding and help to reinvigorate the town. But you know, I think you've got to reinvigorate the town even if option one's chosen, because that's a big shake-up what'll happen. So whatever they do, you know, it's going to be a major disruption to somebody. And that's just that point B. If we could just rejiggle that, I think they're going to impact the town whether it's one, two or three, and we want help commensurate with the disturbance that they'll cause. We've asked for funding, I see, but you need it no matter what, whatever option. So,
and ongoing consultation with the community.
I'll just remind everyone, they did say that they were open to having another meeting with council, but they seem to be uninterested in having a meeting with the community. Not only have they not given us meetings, they haven't got back to us like they said they would about the towns that have done poorly. That was a question that they clearly didn't like when we had the meeting with them. And the best they could then say, for the benefit of Peter, who wasn't here, towns of about 2,500 and smaller are the ones who suffered the most. Well, hello, what are we?
For your benefit, Peter, Nello asked them, what towns have done well? So they said, oh, Moree. So Nello pointed out, well, that's hardly apples with apples, is it? And then he asked for, well, can you tell us towns that have done poorly with the bypass? There was a promise to get back to him. That was the level of answers that we were... That hasn't happened, has it?
We put a cat amongst the pigeon and asked other council areas that question?
How do they measure that data, but are they even interested in collecting and collating that data?
But those other councils would know the answer. Has it impact?
That was my opinion, Kobe. I don't think they care what we think. And we should be trying to get the best we can out of it.
I was talking to people in Kempsey and they were saying that they're going through the downturn now. And they'll start losing businesses, but the hope is that if it follows the pattern of others, it happens for about 2 years, you get all sorts of muddling around, and then people start to realise, I'm starving every time I bypass Coonabarabran and try and make it to Narrabri for a coffee, and then they start to drop back in again. But it takes time, that's all there is to it. But
there was quite a few, an afternoon on ABC about the bypass along the coast, and there were quite a few communities that said initially great, now dead.
As I said at the public meeting, they trot out these experts, they give us these very cutesy stories about, oh, didn't this shop do well, and isn't it lovely that this town never had anything and now it's got a jam factory, or this town's now doing, designer blankets or whatever it's doing, but it's rubbish. You can't, that's not a study, that's not a conclusion. Where's the discussion about population? Where's the discussion about the economy at large? Where's the discussion about number of jobs? How many people have had to leave the town? They are avoiding all of those things. And then they trot out these pretend academic types, one of whom is called Professor Parolin, and if you do some internet surfing about bypasses, this professor from Canberra is trotted out routinely to say how wonderful bypasses are, but there's no substance to it. It's all this, here we've got a professor of this to say this, isn't it wonderful, and he must know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He comes along to these towns, gets a business trip up here, stays at a hotel for a night or two, chews the fat, eats a few sandwiches and goes back to ANU, and the town continues to suffer. And the same can be said about all the other experts they trot out for these sorts of things.
If I may, I remember one of the towns that was first, where the bypass was put in for the Hume Highway, and that was Gundagai. And the mayor of Cootamundra, Gundagai, as it is now, I was going to tell you his name and I forgot. I spent a lot of time in Gundagai over the years, and I think it was, you know, pretty horrendous to start off with, because the highway was quite some distance away because the town's in the valley and the highway's up on the hill. But I'm sure as the years have gone on, Abe McAllister, that's his name, Mayor Abe McAllister, I think he's a stock and station agent in Gundagai. But as the time's gone on, you know, I think it was the best thing that happened to the town. And it's not a large town, but it might be worth somebody... I mean, that's quite some years ago, but it might be worth somebody having contact, chat, I don't know.
I was in Gundagai only a few months ago and the main street's dead as a doornail.
Well, I was there not so long ago also, and it wasn't, so, you know, I just think it might be worth a phone call or two or three.
Either send this letter or...
I'll
put a few more things in it.
You haven't mentioned Leslie Kelly's idea about a toll. I thought that was an interesting idea.
I'll tell you one thing, that they won't put a toll road in.
Or whether they won't, will or they won't, that's not the purpose of this letter. We're not commanding them to do anything, but we're giving them ideas.
Yeah. Well, they don't do it anywhere else, so they're not going to do it here.
They do it in a lot of places. They do it in Sydney and Melbourne and all those sorts of places.
Toowoomba bypass is going to be tolled. Both roads, the current one, which isn't, is apparently going to have a higher toll, or it's been talked about, than the new bypass, trying to get the trucks to go to the new one, because it's slightly longer.
I don't know how everybody in Coonabarabran's put up with the noise of the B-doubles going down the street all these years, actually.
It's very busy now. Hay going up and down the Purlywall Road. Lawn, you get used to it.
And let it.
I don't believe you should have to.
Send the letter. Yeah, give it a tweak and send the letter.
Without changes.
Beg your pardon?
Without changes.
Look, I was just by point, and you don't have to take notice of me, but it just says the town will struggle. We've got options two or three. Well, I think there's trouble brewing if there's option one as well. So whatever they do, we'll need a hand. And I think if we just... The letter reflects that it's not just options two and three that will cause a bit of disharm or a bit of disruption to the town. So option one will do so as well. So either way, we want some help, whatever way, you know. It's not just options two and three. That's just point B there. It just says that if, you know, we will struggle with the bypass if options two and three are selected, well, I think there'll be a bit of disruption caused with option one as well, so we'll want some help with that. So, funding. And that is a good letter. And it's a start. We've got to... get something going backwards and forwards, don't we?
Everybody agree with that letter goes as written?
Yep. Mr. Mayor, how did your discussion with that leader of the lobby group in Dubbo go with respect to bypassing Dubbo?
I was only ringing her up to tell her about the ring road because I'm on the new highway task force. That's the one she wanted. I was only supporting her.
I didn't think that we'd ever get into horse trading. If you read that letter, it's all about Dubbo. Give us your money, we'll have a bypass with a new city.
No, they're a long way off because they haven't done anything. The general idea in Dubbo is to build a bridge across another bridge across the river and River Street, and you cannot get down there, and you can't get from into town in a flood. You've got to go up past the sale yards and round Wheeler's Lane to get to it. They go across the Troy Bridge,
and put a ring road in, I'd go right round it. That's what the people in Dubbo want, but Troy Grant, he was going to the double bridge.
We want a bypass that will have flyovers on it. It'll modernise the place. You can get them into town, you can get the traffic into town, put the flyovers out there.
What are we going to do? We're going to send this letter as or say quick.
You want a commitment here? I'm not going to vote for that letter going.
Vote. Who's in favour? Send it.
Yeah. I believe send it. You need to send it and express our
as written.
Dissatisfaction in their consultation.
There needs to be a couple more things added, why not?
And Wendy?
There's a couple of other issues that need to be added that could be put in there.
That's why I'm asking the question.
This needs to be clear, we're dissatisfied with the consultation and the information that's been given, or lack thereof.
I think, Mr. Mayor, that it's early days yet, and there's a lot of questions that have been raised and issues that have been raised since the initial consultation, and it's only fair that they come back and answer some of those questions, not just for council's benefit, but for the benefit of the public. What they've taken all these public submissions, what are they going to do with the public submissions? Are they going to be made public? Are answers going to be given on a one-by-one basis or given generally so that everyone knows what's going on? And I think that is the biggest bone of contention at the moment, is no one does know what's going on. Everyone's making guesses and surmising. The whole process needs to be a lot more transparent and open. Even a simple one like Councillor Brady's, the River Road, whether it's going to be an overpass or a bypass, when they're building the bridge over the railway line and the River Road's right beside the railway line where they're proposing to put it. Why can't, if you're on a pushpike right under along the side of the railway line, if the bridge is wide enough? And all those little questions that people haven't had the time to think about at such short notice to ask. I think that they come back and have another meeting and we've got our act together properly, formulate the submissions from our public meeting and, yeah, get people some real answers and let them come forward and tell us what their real option is, because lining up on the footpath and the shitty weather that was on the other day when they were here was just not on.
Have access to the building?
No, out in the footpath.
Love it.
And also, a comment on that being outside, on the card it actually said Castle Ray Street, and so the VRA shed used to be the main entrance on Castle Ray Street for the last, 10 years. It hasn't been. It's on Essex Street. But I had people writing to me on Facebook saying, is that consultation meeting still on? We've been down to Castle Ray Street and there's no one there. It's pretty dark around there. And, they didn't even know.
I went to the wrong address first.
That's the way government do these things. Keep you in the dark.
Is River Street a continuation of Dalgarno Street, or which is River
Street?
Yes,
it is.
River Street.
River Road is, yeah.
Thank you. No, I went out there then the other day to the gravel road.
Want points or don't we want points? What? More points put in it or no more points?
Send it.
Or we send it the way it is.
Send it
the way it is. Rightio.
Mr. Mayor, I was thinking about you send a letter saying we're not talking to you until you come over and answer all our questions.
Of some sort to them.
Talking in the microphone, please. Can't hear you. I couldn't hear you. Talking
to them. Send a little something to them. But I don't care what it is.
I could go out in the street tomorrow and say, hello, your business. We rolled over last night. We sent a letter.
I totally disagree, Fred. You don't sit back and sit on your hands. You do need to send a letter and say that we're dissatisfied with what we've received as council, as community.
I just said, send a letter. It's just the contents we're having the trouble with.
Well, you can do it this
way. Can we move this on to maybe talking through email or something like that? I've been up all day. I want to go home.
Lots more letters, I think.
I think we've got to be a little bit conciliatory, Mr. Mayor, because every town on the Hume Highway probably had similar views to us and go for a drive along the Hume today. You don't go through any towns.
Right.
We'll send it well if everybody's agreeable.
Go for a drive up the Pacific Highway and it's getting to be very, very similar. The Newell Highway's the very, very busy road statistically, and a lot of people are against it, but I think it's going to happen whether we like it or not.
I do too.
Whichever road we use, it'll be used for the next 100 years, you can be sure of that. We're no good at coming back in 10 years' time and say we want to shift it because we're not likely to happen.
No. And they've got a lot of investment, a lot of money, and a long future of infrastructure, they need more than 2 weeks of consultation for that. That's what it boils down to. The road will be still there when we're all gone.
So will the town.
Hopefully.
No.
There you are. I'll leave it at that, eh? Close the meeting. I won't be here at the next meeting. I've sent an email today to all the councillors to say what calendar we're waiting for. Did everybody get that?
Yeah, from Aaron.
Don't worry, just tell me where you're going and I'll let everybody know.
You want to come too?
I'll call you every morning.
Where are we going? What?
I'll ring her and ask her how she's going.
No.
She'll tell me to be like a cushion and get started.